or not it somehow plays an effect on our hearts and our minds. But I pray that you'll just loosen up today. Somebody say loosen up. Loosen up today and receive the word of God with gladness in your heart. What God has laid upon my heart to give to you. And remember this, before he gives it to you, he's already given it to me. And I've got to apply it to my own life first and foremost. Amen. Amen. You missed a good opportunity to say amen there. It's okay. It's okay. So Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. He said, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate." That doesn't mean be in the grave. It means to recognize what's going on around about you. "Sound in faith, in charity, and in patience." Prayed for patience lately. "The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, nor given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. To be discreet, chastened, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands." "That the word of God be not blasphemed." Titus gives us some information here to tells us why he's saying what he's saying. It's all about the glory of God. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity." Balance. Balance. "Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you." When they make fun of you, they laugh at you, they make tell jokes about you. If you live a righteous life before God, they'll become ashamed of what they've said and what they've done towards you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Proverbs 22 and 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, in all of our frailties and all our inabilities, and we look to you, God, as you make up the difference. And pray that you'll speak to our hearts and help us, oh God, to glean close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach this morning, nurturing sons and daughters. Nurturing sons and daughters. If you will bear with me this morning. This past week, I have tried to put myself on the disabled list. Stepped on the mower, twisted my knee, couldn't walk for 2 days almost. Yesterday, I was weed eating and a rock flew up and hit me in the eye. And I cried the rest of the night. But this morning, I'm doing pretty good. Just call me lucky. I was just kidding. I'm thankful to be here, standing on my own 2 feet and able to read the Word of God. But there's times I do tear up because it's still tender. So bear with me, will you? Daddies. I ain't going to get no hurry if you don't say amen. We often use this last passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, to assure ourselves of a departing child will come home. And I believe that God's Word is true. But the fact is that it is overlooked in that training a child isn't a shot in the dark. We overlook sometimes that training a child, nurturing a child, is not a shot in the dark. It's not a casual stroll through life. Training must become intentional, with discipline and self-control on our part. Someone once said, there are more things that are caught than taught. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th President of the United States, said, knowing what is right doesn't mean much unless you do what is right. Can I say that again? Knowing what is right doesn't mean much unless you do what is right. So today I come to you and I submit to you to accept a new focus on your children, no matter what their age is. And let's begin to cultivate a generation that knows how to work, that knows how to love, and how to live with morals and integrity, learning everything you teach them by your example. I'd like to reiterate that this morning. Training, discipline is intentional. It's not a shot in the dark. It's not a casual scrolling through life. But I challenge you today that we need to begin to cultivate a generation who knows who they are. We need to learn to cultivate, and we need to do our best intentionally to cultivate a generation that knows who they are, knows how to work, how to love, how to live with morals, with integrity, learning everything that they see by example. Our sons and our daughters are watching us. They see our habits. They see our hurts. They see our hang-ups. They see how you treat mama, daddy. They see how you treat mama, daddy. And how you treat your waitress on Sunday afternoon brunch. They see your faithfulness to church. And grab a hold of this. They see your attitude toward church. They are watching and they are listening to your business dealings and your commitment to your family. You ain't amening near as good as I'm preaching. We oftentimes compare family and church, and we try to put it in order, but in thus doing so, we're putting it in competition of each other. But our family is a part of the church, and God has ordained that, and they're not in competition. They are all one of the same. Dads, you are incomprehensible an influence over your sons and over your daughters. I'm not chastising you. I'm giving you some pointers here that we need to recultivate a generation that knows how to serve God. Whether your influence is beyond the magnitude of being able to verbalize it, but whether you physically, mentally, or spiritually, we need to take a good look, a fresh look, in considering the way we shepherd our sons and our daughters. And for the next few minutes, I pray that you'll stick with me. I'd like to give us some pointers on how we should nurture our children, again, no matter their age. No matter their age. Not that I'm an expert, for I have made more than my share of mistakes, and I have missed golden opportunities to be that example that I should be for God's glory. So the first pointer I'd like to give to you is you need to tell your sons and daughters more often how you love them. I wasn't hiding. I dropped my water bottle. You need to tell your sons and your daughters how much you love them frequently and from the heart. I'm going to make it through this. I guarantee you. The highest form of love is selfish in nature. It's truly caring about someone else for their own sake. It's not based on what they do. If God loved us based upon what we do or what we've done, we'd been a big heap of trouble. That son and daughter doesn't have to be worthy. Because you see, true love has nothing to do with performance. And love doesn't need to be earned. I hope somebody's taking notes. True love to our children needs to be communicated consistently and often in word and in deed. This is the same kind of love in which God gives to us. God does not love us because we're good. Hello? I said, God does not love us because we're good. God loves us because He's good. I said, God loves us because He's good, not because you're good. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We teach and we train them. Listen closely, daddies, mamas. I'm just going to make this a Mother and Father's Day deal, okay? We teach and we train them by allowing the fruits of the Spirit to control our lives, in that we teach and allow the Holy Spirit to develop the fruit in their lives. Showing them that the source of behavior is empowered in their lives by the Holy Ghost. I got to say that one more time. We teach and we train them by allowing the fruits of the Spirit to be in control of our lives, in that we teach and allow the Holy Spirit to develop the fruit in their lives, knowing and showing them that the source of behavior is empowered in the lives, in their lives, through the Holy Spirit and in our lives as well. Remembering to love our sons and our daughters as they are, not as we want them to be. If you stop and think about it, and if you want them to turn out just like you did, never mind. If you think that that statement was out of context, remembering to love our sons and our daughters as they are, not as I want them to be or we want them to be, and if you think that that statement is out of context, consider this one. This is the love of God, who sent His Son to die for us when we were enemies and knee-deep in rebellion. He still died for us. Let all of our instructions and corrections refocus and rooted in God's love for our children. Tell your sons and your daughters how much you love them, and tell them often. Not just to fill in words when they have earned it, but because of the gift that God has given you through them, showing them how to love as Christ loves us. Teaching your sons and your daughters how to love, let me back up. Teaching your sons how to love and how to treat and how to respect girls and women.
That's right.
Teaching your sons how to love, treat, and respect girls and women. Teaching your daughters how they should be treated as well. teaching your daughters how they should be treated as well. And if they are not treated right, put a knot on that young man's head and send him on his way. I'm from the old school. I would put two and then send him on his way. By the way, when your daughter begins to date boys, hello? When your daughter's daddy begins to date boys, you should have already spent several dates with them, showing her again how she deserves respect and honor as she dates. And also, here's a big tip. Make sure that they take a Bible along with them on their date. Not just any Bible, but the family Bible. Put that family Bible between her and that young man. And that young man will have a lot of trouble crawling over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. To be disrespectful or inappropriate. Am I preaching good now? By the way, here you go. By the way, how does your sons and daughters see how you treat their mama? Didn't get the same response, did I? Something to think about. How do we treat our wives? Listen to me, Daddy. You may not, very important, listen to me, I'll encourage you, dads. You may not have a daddy to show you by example or to teach you the things you need to know in life. But I will tell you today, standing right here, flat-footed, you do have a Heavenly Father that has provided to you every example on how to love and how to act above and beyond. And I will tell you, daddies, He will make a difference, and He is sufficient for those things in your life that you need. Number one, tell them how to love. Show them how to love and love them and tell them you love them frequently. Number two, tell your sons and your daughters how proud you are of them. Tell them how proud you are of them. Can I tell you today, dads, that these words will travel right past their ears and their mind, and it will penetrate their soul, that will stick with them their whole lives. There are few things that will strengthen and give affirmation to your sons and daughters like the words that I'm proud of you. Your sons and your daughters need to hear you say that frequently and often. You want your sons and your daughters to grow up and be strong and confident with a backbone and become a man of substance and integrity in a world that lacks both. You want your sons to grow up and be strong and confident with a backbone and become a man of substance and integrity in a world that lacks both. And you want your daughter to grow up and be proud that she's a princess, and she is comfortable and secure in becoming that godly woman that refuses to succumb to the world's temptation and compromise. Give your sons and your daughters pleasure and assurance of hearing that you are proud of who they are and becoming. Listen. You don't have to like everything that they're doing, nor do you have to agree. You have the confidence and the assurance that God that you serve will bring them up for the purpose He has for them. It's not what we want, but it's what God wants. And it's what God is doing in their lives. Just like God has done a work in our lives, and He's still working on us. Amen. Next time you look in the mirror, tell yourself, He's still working on me. I can tell. We haven't done everything perfect. I'll put it this way. I haven't done everything perfect by no stretch of the imagination. But when we reach up to God Almighty, we feel His hand on our shoulder. And when we put our hand on our son's shoulder, our daughter, and tell them that we are proud of them. You see, this is what I'm talking about. It's not only does our children have many flaws, but so do we. Have you ever stopped to wonder, what if the God of heaven, in all His perfection, chose only to see our flaws? I doubt if any of us would last a day. You see, we live in a world where people are desperately insecure of who they are or where they're going. And I believe with all of my heart that there are some daddies that need to rise up and say, it's time we raise a generation that knew who they were and who they were serving. Let us, as dads, do everything possible by being sincere and confident and with integrity, teach and show our children what it means to be so. Helping them to understand that how God made them is good enough. And they'll never be good enough being somebody else, or in our age we're living in, or something else. Perhaps in order to truly be proud of our kids, we need to take time to know them. Understanding the challenges of this will likely be because they really don't understand themselves. And there's times we feel the same way about ourselves. When's the last time you said, I just don't understand why I did that? You never said that? I just don't understand why I've done that. Big part of our job, church, daddies, mamas, is to help them discover that they are precious and wonderfully created by God Almighty. And I might say, He don't make mistakes. Psalms chapter 139:13-14 said, for you are, listen to me, young person, listen to me, child, that you are created. For you created my innermost being. David speaking concerning the things of God. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that fully well. You see, I think many times we fail to really get to know our sons and our daughters. And the reason I think that we sometimes are reluctant is because they fail to meet our standards. And in doing so, we know it's a reflection on us, and we can hardly handle that. And we struggle with that because we've made the same mistakes. And it makes us feel bad that they didn't do better. In our own frailty, we see the frailty of those that we have created, and we struggle to know how to do difference. because we want them to do better. But we can crush their spirits by trying to force them to meet that standard instead of letting the Holy Spirit do its work. And we just be the support teacher that loves them unconditionally. Man, that's good stuff, even if I did say it. It's hard sometimes for us to just be that support teacher and love them unconditionally. Recognizing and watching and allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in their life. I'm here to tell you today that in all my faults, and all my failures, and all my shortcomings, my latter years, unfortunately, but hopefully I have seen, I have come to recognize that what I'm preaching to you is vitally important. And in these last years, although I can never make up for all the mess ups that I have contributed to my sons' lives. Although I'm doing my best to instill within my boys the love of God and how proud I am of them and their accomplishments and simply for being who they are. Number three, tell your sons and your daughters, when you make a mistake, that you are sorry. You're not Fonzie. Whoops. Just told how old I was. Some of you ain't got a clue who Fonzie is. Brother Norman, we know who Fonzie is. Some of you do. He had a struggle of saying he was sorry. Don't. Yeah. We're more like Urkel that said, "Did I do that?" I love wearing these reading glasses because I can't see the expression on your face through them. Tell your sons and your daughters when you fail that you're sorry. Inevitably, and probably every day, we fathers are most likely to fail or at the least disappoint our family in some way. And it can be in a number of things. Maybe you just snapped at your kids with harsh words and misjudged the situation. Yelling or not being present mentally. That's just a few things of our human frailties. We want to raise our sons and daughters to be strong, yet humble and self-aware, confident, but not stubborn or conceited. Open to reason and constructive criticism. Oh, I got to read that in again too. We want to raise our sons and daughters to be strong, yet humble and self-aware, confident, but not stubborn and conceited. Open to reason and constructive criticism. While we sometimes are unraveling at the seams of our own shortcomings, failing to see our own weaknesses and flaws. God help us. As fathers, we have an excellent opportunity to teach our children by example. And it will happen probably sooner than later that opportunity arises. Knowing that when you make your next blunder, and it will happen, come on somebody, and are in a position to take a radical responsibility to lead by example, you may not see it at the moment, but your next move will carry a massive weight on your child. If you will reevaluate the situation and acknowledge where you have failed and take your child by the hand and give them a big hug, sitting them down and letting them know how you have failed and that you are sorry, and ask them to forgive you, telling them that you're sorry for your conduct. No, that won't make you vulnerable or weak. That'll make you Superman in their eyes. Being quick to recognize when you're wrong and apologizing without any qualifications, apologizing without any qualifications, disclaimers, or blame.
Amen.
How many times have we apologized, but we've always put a conjunction onto it? A lot of times we apologize by putting a but in the sentence. And I can tell you that that's a big problem, is when we allow our buts to get in the way. B-U-T, in the way. If you thought different, shame on you. An apology is a place for radical, unqualified responsibility for what you did wrong, not a platform for you to get the other person to apologize. Hello? Come on. I'm almost through. All likes finishing. Stay with me. Dad, you have an awesome position to sit down with your son and daughter and be a model for change. It's getting quieter instead of... I mean, what's going on here? Reevaluating. Hallelujah. Dad, you have an awesome responsibility and a great position to sit down with your sons and daughters and be a model for the change, to take responsibility for your action. You are teaching them a valuable lesson that it's human to make mistakes and it's okay to be human.
Yes.
Allowing them to see you take that responsibility for being wrong, and with that, it's okay for them to be wrong, but showing them how to make it right. The simple act of taking responsibility and saying we are sorry, acknowledging we are wrong, is the thing that brings immediate healing and restoration and rest. We sometimes fail to view the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in the family setting, and righteousness is not something we have. It's something that is given to us by Jesus Christ. And learning to tell our sons and daughters that we are sorry as we allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine into their lives through our lives. A father can be incredibly vibrant, detailed, colorful illustration of God in the life of his son or daughter. But this power can also be incredibly destructive in the father who ignores the awesome responsibility that comes with raising children. Remember, your words are powerful. Use them to build up your sons and daughters and take advantage of that power of your words and be gracious with them. Tell them often how much you love them and do not fail to call out the good that you see in them, showing them humility and having the ability to apologize quickly for your wrong, allowing the Holy Ghost to quicken you daily, to instruct, build, and develop the character in your child's life for the future. Here should be our daily prayer, Dad. Psalms 51 and 10. God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Listen closely as I close with this passage of Scripture. Chris, y'all can come to the piano if you'd like. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 through 21. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be the frontlets between your eyes, always keeping the word of God in front of them. And ye shall teach your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gate. When we was in Israel, every house, every motel room, individual motel rooms, had a scripture on the outside of the door. It is vitally important. Can I tell you, if you keep the Word of God in front of your children, it will keep them from sinning. If you neglect and allow the Word of God to be vacant in their premise, it will cause them to sin even more. God's Word will keep sin out of your life, or the lack of will put it in your life. These, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. So I conclude this morning to you, don't forget that God's Word has not changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament, nor from that generation to this one. For God sent His Son into the world, and God also has given us His Word, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Would you stand with me all over the building? Remember, if you're not seeing the results and you feel like giving up on your child, consider this. The last thing that grows on a fruit tree is the fruit itself. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You, O God, for the example that You have given us and Your Word that shows us. Now I pray, Lord, that You'll send the Holy Ghost that'll knock on our door every day, every hour, helping us to recognize the responsibility that we have as dad and moms, teaching us, O God, to keep Your Word foremost in our lives and in the lives of our kids. And that regardless of how old they are, we tell them that we love them, we're proud of them, and we make mistakes, and we are sorry for those mistakes. But we look to You, our Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ came that we might have life, and that more abundantly through the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank You and we give You praise in Jesus' wonderful name. I wonder today how many would take inventory of your heart and say right now, right between, just between you and God, you'd lift your hand toward heaven and say, God, help me to be what You'd have